Now we'll hear from the Lord, from the Word of God. Today we're going to read from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. And Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. First section is the destruction of the temple foretold. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and he will lead them many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The coming of the Son of Man. "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see that the Son of Man is coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." The lesson of the fig tree. "From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see that these things are taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." The necessity for watchfulness. "But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cock crow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." Word of the Lord. Amen.
I look at a lot of different websites to get ideas for the sermon, and one of the best ideas I saw this week was the title of the sermon, which should be just what Jeff just finished with, which is "Keep Awake." It was said three times in today's scripture. Several people said that must be the Holy Spirit speaking to us as it's Daylight Saving Sunday. Keep awake. We're working through the Gospel of Mark, and as we get to today's section, it comes between the last bits we've been looking at, which is there have been some kind of verbal battles between Jesus and the people in charge, the supposed authorities, him questioning their integrity, and them questioning everything about him. And our next chapter is the story of the upper room, or the Last Supper, or what we call Maundy Thursday. And so we are working through the story of Mark, but we're going to jump back a little bit as next Sunday is Palm Sunday. So you just got to hold that in mind a little bit. Today's scripture is a little interesting because Most scholars think it probably was inserted into the middle of this story because Jesus is going along with his disciples from talking and fighting with the authorities and kind of questioning the people in charge, saying, who do you really think that you are? What are your priorities really about? And then moving to celebrate the Passover with his closest friends, and that this is slipped in the middle. If you go straight from the last verse of 12 to the verse of 14, most scholars think it reads just fine. So Mark has inserted this because there is something important that he wants us to hold on to. In the overall message of the gospel, the question that most scholars say is at the root of the gospel is Jesus asking, who do you say that I am? The other people say I'm a prophet. Some people say I'm a good teacher. Some people think I'm Elijah or John the Baptist come back. But what about you? Who do you think that I am? Who do you say that I am? Why do you follow me? So I think that's the underlying part of every scripture in Mark, but in particular today's scripture. And so as the scripture starts, Jesus and his friends are walking along and they're looking at the temple. And the disciples are amazed at how big and mighty the temple is. Some of the stones that were part of the temple weighed up to 50 tons. Now, this was built more than 2,000 years ago. Jerusalem is on the top of a hill. And so it's pretty significant that they could get these stones, 50 tons, some 40 feet long, to build up the temple. If you've ever seen pictures of the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, that's actually the last remaining part of what the temple looked like. And so it was impressive. And so the disciples are quite rightly asking, well, how could this thing ever be destroyed? Look how big and strong it is. It will last forever. Now, I was thinking about that, and I don't know about you, but most buildings will fall down. I'm hopeful that our house won't. I remember when we bought our house, we had to sign a statement recognizing that we admit in all honesty, that our house is within 100 feet of a fault, and I'm sure that's all for the insurance adjusters in the future. But I'm pretty sure our house will not survive the cataclysmic 15.0 earthquake that's going to come. And we look around in our world and things are breakable. I don't know if you get that feeling. Things are breaking all around us. Our institutions, things we thought that were solid and sure, things that would last forever. I often talk about the post office as one of those examples. Who would ever think that the post office would potentially close? Or that Kodak would go bankrupt? Many things like that seem unbreakable, but are breakable. And so as I was reflecting, I think there's only one thing that I know of that is not breakable. And it's this. I have a jar of them up here if you want to take some home for safety. These are those packaging peanuts. Have you ever found this? You cannot break those suckers. I mean, you can, right? I just broke it. But you cannot get rid of them. And no matter what I do, when we get them and I put them in the trash, they always blow all over and they remain in our front yard forever. You cannot break them. I think that's part of what Jesus is talking about in today's scripture. Not packaging, but about things breaking, about things lasting, about permanence and security. If you look at the scripture, it talks on and on about there are signs. You will see signs, visible expressions of invisible things. Signs that something is happening. Earthquakes, rumors of war, suffering, storms. Maybe El Niños. We didn't have that, but who knows? Darkness. We know that in the year 70, Jerusalem was completely destroyed. The Romans had enough of the Jewish people who continued to revolt, trying to be free. And so Titus, who was in one of the big leaders of the Roman Empire, came in and he utterly destroyed Jerusalem. In fact, it's said that they melted every single ounce of gold from in between the rocks. They took everything with them. They took the sacred things that were on the table in the middle of the temple. They took them back to Rome. In fact, when you go to Rome and if you go to the Colosseum right near there, there is a famous statue that still stands, a frieze, so it's like carved statues on stone, that shows Titus bringing back the pillaged sacred items from the temple to Rome. They utterly destroyed Jerusalem because they were tired of all of the rebellion of the Jews. That probably happened about the same time that Mark is putting into words the story that we're reading, the story that he knew, that he had heard from others. And so you have to ask, are those the rumors of wars that Mark is talking about? The end of the world. How could you not think it was the end of the world? The Jews believed that God lived in the temple in Jerusalem, that that was where you went to talk with God. And if that temple is destroyed, then God has no home on earth, no place to speak to God. Then you're on your own. We're on our own. Or maybe the question is more than just, are we on our own? It's, well, were they on their own? But are we on our own today? Does Jesus even care? The scripture, talking about wars and earthquakes, it's not just then, it's also now. I read last night in Time magazine that Oklahoma now has more earthquakes than California because of fracking. And because when you frack oil out of the ground, there's a lot of water and you have to pump that water back in. They pump it back down deep enough where it actually creates earthquakes because it's in places on the planet where it's not supposed to be. Then we have no shortage of rumors of wars. So you have to wonder, is the time now? In fact, people ask that all the time, don't we? Is the time now? When you talk about apocalypse or the end of the world, this is oftentimes the image that we have. The end is near. Some guy who's out there with a sign. I don't know why it's never women. We always have pictures of men doing it. Christy and I, we were in Hawaii last week. Christy had a conference and I tagged along. And I was struck because early in the morning, 6 a.m., right outside of Waikiki Beach, there'd be people outside with signs. They didn't quite look like this guy, but they had shorts and tank tops on, since it was Hawaii, but saying the end is near and giving out Bibles. There were people going up and down the streets at night doing that. You've probably seen that, right? We've all seen somebody who has the sign, the end is near. Or jokes. There's a joke in the New Yorker this week where it says, the end is near. A guy's walking like this with a sign. 20 feet behind him is a guy carrying a sign that says, the end. We hear about it over and over. Lots of things. But when you read the scripture, Jesus never talks about a guy holding a sign saying the end is near, does he? He talks about that there's tension in the world, and how do we know that God is still there in the midst of all of these things that are happening, earthquakes and wars, destruction, darkness? It seems as if it's the final days. If you read the scripture and you look at all of the notes in an extensive Bible, you'll see that the scripture words today are filled with references, hundreds of them, to other scriptures in the First Testament, to scriptures talking about God bringing a creation to completion, or God coming, or the world changing, or the story of creation being reversed. Instead of God saying, let there be light, it seems like God is saying, there will be darkness before the next thing happens. It is easy in the midst of all of that scripture and in everything we see today to wonder if the world is over. Is this the end? Should we be looking for this guy in a rain jacket on College Avenue? But the image in the scripture that Jesus uses is one of a fig tree, of a fig branch. And here's a picture of one that's starting to bloom. And we have one in our backyard, and it is an interesting tree. It's just like sticks. There's nothing. It really looks like something that's just tender that you could light in the winter. And then suddenly it blooms, and there's these huge leaves and supposedly big figs that all of the squirrels in our backyard always eat. Jesus uses that as the sign. What I take from that is that when you look at that fig tree, and I can see it out our window in our kitchen, it looks like there's nothing going on, but then all of a sudden it explodes and grows. It's kind of like the weeds in our backyard. Is that like anybody else's? All of a sudden everything is green. Something's happening that we don't see. Or something's happening that we're not quite aware of. Or there's more that's happening than we catch in our limited vision. Do you ever have that feeling? We our kids are getting older, and I guess I'm getting older. I feel the pain more in the mornings, and I realize, wow, life is going by so quickly. And the older I get, the more I start to understand older people who say, wow, life goes by so fast. It's easy to just sleep through it on a certain level, to just go through the motions, to not see it coming and going and coming and going until it seems like it's all over. I think that too is part of what Jesus is talking about. Jesus repeats three times in the scripture, stay awake, or keep alert, or watch. I think that's the main point. Stay awake. Don't be blinded. Something is happening. We watched the movie Spotlight last night. I don't know if anybody has seen that. It won the Academy Award this year, but it is the story of the reporters in Boston for the Boston Globe who unearthed the scandal of sexual abuse by the priests in Boston and around the world. And it is really poignant. Hopefully it's not a spoiler alert because we know how the story ends. But at the end, one of the main people who's helping shine a light on this to expose it discovers that he himself was implicated, that he didn't speak up earlier either. He's going around, not quite threatening people, but telling people they have to expose it, and suddenly he discovers that he could have exposed it before, but that he was asleep. He was not looking. It's a reminder, I think, of what Jesus is talking about, a reminder of what that we all struggle with. It's easy to fall asleep. It's easy to think that nothing's going on, or that we are forgotten, or that the world is really going down the toilet, so either we need to check out and move to Canada, or we need to vote for certain people, or we just need to hope that God comes and destroys it all. The word apocalypse, do you know what it actually means? It means revelation. It does not mean destruction. It means a revealing. The last book of the Bible is called Apocalypse in Greek. But that actually, so we call it Revelation. French and Spanish, they call it Apocalypse. It is a revealing of what is actually happening, what God is actually up to. Now, it's mysterious because you either read it literally or metaphorically. You either read it and can't get away from it, or you choose not to read it at all because you don't want to get into it. But the notion, I think, that Jesus is talking about, and that is in the Bible, is that that nothing is unbreakable, even packaging peanuts. And that what is happening is more than what we see. I was struck when we were in Hawaii. I forgot about these certain trees. They're called banyan trees, and there's one in the middle of the Waikiki Beach, so I would walk past it every day as I went down to the beach with my Bible books to read as I read and got my sunburns. And these trees are remarkable. So they only grow in tropical regions, I believe. And what's remarkable about them is, as you look at it, you can see that there, it looks like the root system is really on steroids. But what it is the tree grows up, and then there are vines that dangle down from the branches. And those vines eventually grow down far enough where they hit the ground, and then they grow into the ground and become new roots, and the tree expands. And so what is actually one tree could be 20, 30, 40 trees. It grows up and it grows down. Struck by that, because oftentimes we just think of growing in one way, growing up from the ground up, and yet the tree is also, on a certain level, I think, and maybe I'm over-spiritualizing this, the tree is remembering where its center is, growing back to where it comes from. It's a different kind of sight, a different kind of growth, I think. And I think that, too, is part of what Jesus is saying. Keep awake, stay alert, watch. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget how you're loved. Don't forget what God is about. Because God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten us. God has not checked out. It's like that fig tree where you think it's dead, but it's not actually. It's more alive than you could ever imagine. In the end, I think it's tragic on a certain level, all those people with the signs, the end is near, because they usually just kind of part the crowds. It's like a reverse Moses going through the Red Sea. People, they all scatter. They don't want to talk to those people. In the end, I think the message that Jesus is giving is one in which we're invited to talk. We're invited to converse. We're invited to look together. Not for God to do everything, but to recognize that God has not left us alone in the world, that things are happening in the world that might be from God, that God might be working for redemption, not just on the cross 2,000 years ago, but right here and now. In our presidential election, in the Black Lives Matter movement, in the El Nino rains, in the poverty that we see in our city and in our area, in the ways in which our schools are struggling, the ways in which we can be invited to make a difference. We were at Allen Baptist Temple on Friday night for a concert of Cantare Convivo, and Bob was there too, and they are doing this fabulous piece by Bach, and they do it there, and they raise money, and the whole goal is to give the money to Allen Baptist Temple so that they can provide free music lessons for children that live in the heart of East Oakland. Children that have no, I'm not going to say no hope, but have a harder time of having a different vision of the future. That's, I think, what Jesus is talking about. It's not settling for what you see on International Boulevard way down in East Oakland, but believing that there is more that's going on and that we can be part of it. I was struck during our prayer time today at the amount of prayers about cancer. One of those is ones I shared about family, friends, and it's overwhelming. I don't know if you feel overwhelmed. The news, sometimes it's just overwhelming. The hard news, the sad news, the scary news. It seems like nobody has an answer. We either just blame other people, people that we don't like, or people that aren't like us, or people that can't fight back. It's overwhelming. And I think we're played upon and we're preyed upon by all that fear. Yet what Jesus is saying in the midst of all this is, I think more than that the end is coming, is that God is at work, revealing that God is in the world. In the midst of those trees that seem to be dead, but are ready to sprout forth into life. In the midst of the earthquakes and the rumors of war, in the midst of all of the suffering and the pain and the sickness and the loss and the grief and the fear in our world, that there is a hope. Not just a hope where you cross your fingers and throw a penny into a well and hope that things get better, but a hope that is active and alert. Mark wrote his gospel probably in a time in which they thought their world was over. It was illegal to be Jewish and remain in Jerusalem after the Romans destroyed it. They hated the Jews that much. They did not even want them in the capital city. The people were scattered to the four ends of the earth. It seemed like it was all over, and yet today we read those words that Mark wrote down. Today we're part of that church that Mark was part of as it was starting, when everything seemed to be ending. That's the hope that Jesus is really talking about. That's the hope that Jesus is inviting us to stay awake, to keep alert, to look for, to watch for, to yearn for, and then to grab and to get involved with it. In the midst of all the rain, it is... interesting, the darkness. I find our building is really interesting. You notice how dark it is in here? There was, the other day, I felt like I had to turn the lights on in the middle of the day because you couldn't see. It was like walking in a dark closet in the sanctuary. It's a good metaphor for life. But sometimes it's dark and sometimes it's not. It's easy to forget or to assume that there's nothing else going on, but the promise of the scripture, the promise of faith, the person of God, who God is and how God is in the world, is a light in the darkness. Is salt for the earth. We've sang that this morning about light, about a presence that is strong and loving, tender
and omnipotent that changes our hearts, not because we're bad, but so that we can be more, so that we can see more, so that we can see what God is really up to in the world. As we move to our next song, it is a song kind of about the end of the world. But rather than focusing on a scary guy that's saying really scary things, it is talking about the hope that the revealing of God or the apocalypse or the end of the world is not about destruction, but rather about God's love and God bringing justice into our unjust world. So as we get ready to sing this, I want to invite you to take a moment as we prepare to sing and as we sing it, maybe to reflect on the ways in which you need to wake up, the ways in which you need to see that God's justice is in the world, the ways you need God's justice in your world, in your life, in your relationship.